So reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is Adi Lila chapter 14, and this is verses 49 and 50, and the chapter is entitled Lord Chaitanya's Childhood Pastimes. Which one's on the board? 50, okay. So we'll read verse 49 and verse 50. When the girls, after bathing in the Ganga, engaged in worshipping the different demigods, the Lord would come there and sit down among them. Today's verse. Addressing the girls, the Lord would say, "Worship me, and I shall give you good husbands or good benedictions. The Ganga and Goddess Durga are my maidservants, not to speak of other demigods. Even Lord Shiva is my servant." So Lord Chaitanya is speaking to these young girls who are doing puja to Lord Shiva in order to achieve a good husband. Purport. It's a little long. There is a misconception about the Hindu religion among people who profess other religions, such as Christians and Mohammedans, who say that the Hindu religion, there are many gods. But actually, this is not a fact. God is one, but there are many other powerful living entities who are in charge of different departments of ministration. They are called demigods. All the demigods are servants who carry out the orders of the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disclosed this fact in his childhood. Out of ignorance, sometimes people worship the demigods to receive some particular boon. But actually, if one becomes a devotee and worshiper of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not need to go to other demigods for any benediction, because he obtains everything by the grace of the Supreme Lord. Bhagavad Gita therefore condemns such demigod worship. Kamaistastair hitgyanam prapadyante nadevataha tam tam niyayam astaya prakritya niyata swaham. Only persons whose intelligence is lost and who are mad with lusty desires worship the demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. And again, yesam twantikatam ga papam gyanamam purna karmanam tvedanda maho nirmukta banchite mam dritha vritaha. The persons who are freed from all sinful activities and the duality of delusion engage themselves and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with determination. That's from Bhagavad Gita 7:28. Only the less intelligent worship the demigods for their various purposes. The most intelligent worship only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Sometimes we, the members of the Krishna conscious movement, are accused of not approving of the worship of demigods. But how can we approve of this when it is condemned by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna? How can we allow people to become foolish, hitragyan, bereft of intelligence? Our propaganda is meant to enable the intelligent persons to understand the distinction between matter and spirit, and to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the whole spiritual identity. This is our mission. How could we mislead people to worship so-called gods in material bodies within this material world? Our position of not allowing worship of many hundreds of demigods is confirmed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even in his childhood. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung in his connections, "Anya devas raya nai tomari kinkunu bhai, e bhakti paramankarana." To become a staunch, pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any deviation, that's called Ananya Bhak, one should not divert his attention to the worship of demigods. Such control is a symptom of pure devotional service. Om Agyan Timirandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Swapadante Kam Bande hum shiguro shiyuta padikamalam shigurun vaishnavamscha shirupam sagrajatam sahagana raganatam vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam sarvadutam parijana sahitam krishna chaitanya devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kopa tarubhischa kripa sindhu pebhacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namaho namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktivin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So it's interesting, Srila Prabhupada devoted the entire purport to explanation of what is our actual focus of worship. Before you can actually understand what to do, it's also important to understand what not to do. Because sometimes we mix both together, what to do and what not to do, into one. So there's benefit of what to do, and there's, what we say, no benefit in what not to do. That's obvious. So here it's explained that worship is for Krishna, or for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's brought out in the Bhagavad Gita in the sixth chapter in the very end. Krishna describes various types of worship. And then he ends the chapter by explaining that one who devotes their worship to me is the highest of all. That doesn't mean we can worship on different levels and still worship the highest. Because Krishna has given us the instructions. And Prabhupada makes an interesting point in the purport. He says that even when Lord Chaitanya was a little boy, he wanted to make this point known. It's not that he waited until he was, let me say, grown and had more position. He wanted to make the point known because it is very common that people worship God for material things. In fact, there is two, what we say, deviations from real devotion that go on in society as acceptable forms of spiritual practice. In fact, they're very all-pervading. One, we are hearing here, and that is to worship those persons who are in charge of the administration of the universe. They're powerful, very powerful personalities. And they're also devotees of the Lord. Not pure devotees, but they're devotees. They have a position, they have power, and their devotion is mixed with the desire to have that position. It's not pure. When you want something other than only Krishna, that is called mixed, or that devotion that is tinged by something material. And therefore, it's not pure, and therefore it doesn't reach the goal of life. It leaves one, what we say, unsatisfied. And the other deviation is that people worship God in order to become God. Mayavad. And we hear a lot about that. Srila Prabhupada talks a lot in his purports and his lectures about the idea that because the soul is by nature the same quality of Krishna, and therefore Brahman is one, therefore everyone's Brahman, therefore everyone is God. They don't talk about how Brahman expands into itself and still remains whole. They just talk about the oneness. And therefore they say the living entity who is also Brahman is also God. And therefore worship is geared towards becoming God, or retaking the position that one has forgotten their position as God. So these two forms of deviation are very much prominent in the world today. And that's why we say, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gaudavani Prachadine, Nirvishesha Sunya Pastyatya De Satarni. Srila Prabhupada came, especially to the Western countries, to smash this idea that one can worship God and everything is void. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes this point many times, that actually whatever the demigods can give you, it's coming from me. They are not independent. They are not the source of the benedictions they can offer. That benediction is coming from me. Prabhupada would say, you may want to, get a job in a particular company. So you come into the company to meet the person who's gonna talk to you and see if you're qualified to hire. And you start talking to the clerk at the door and you want to bribe him and say, here's a little bribe, a little money. Can you talk to the big man for me? Bribing the clerk and hoping that he'll... So that's like demigod worship. But of course, it's a little different in this analogy, because the analogy is a little faulty in the sense that people are not looking for the gold. They're looking for something different. Little girls, they're only 7, 8 years old, 9 years old. Every day they come to the Ganga, they make their little altar, they put a little Shiva Linga there, and with flowers and tulsi leaves, and also with Ganga water, they do very nice pujas as taught by their parents. And they sing the glories of Shiva, and their hearts are dedicated to getting a nice husband. And Shiva is also in a position to give material benedictions. But Lord Chaitanya says here, he's my servant. Now this bewildered the girls. Lord Chaitanya would come. He was very mischievous. Oh, was he mischievous. Krishna was mischievous. We know Krishna, he used to steal butter. And when he'd get caught, he'd lie and blame it on someone else. And say, I'm a good boy. Why should I steal butter? You have so many nice butter in your house, Mataji. Why would I go steal butter? And then she would believe him, and then he'd do it again. And that's Krishna's mischief, because when God does mischief, everyone likes it. When you do mischief, when we do mischief, nobody likes it. Sometimes you like it, but that's all. And so, this was the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he's very playful. This is one of the elements. This is why Prabhupada said, where'd you get that playful nature? It comes from Krishna. It comes from God. So, some of us have it more than others. Some of us have it in the wrong way. But that nature is there. And Krishna is very playful. But at the same time, he knows how to use that playful nature in an instructive way. So he's instructing these girls. And actually, and he says, directly in this particular purport, he says, worship me, and I'll give you a good husband. And what are these girls thinking when he's saying that? Oh, he's just talking nonsense. He's the son of Jagannath Mishra. Because he's in a Brahmin family, he's proud, just see. Look at him, he's acting like that. Why should we listen to him? But, Lord Chaitanya didn't take it so easy. If the girls didn't listen, he'd press it. And it goes on. I'll reveal some of the later verses. He says, if you don't worship me, then I'll curse you. That you'll be a co-wife with 4 husbands, and ugly husband with 4 co-wives. But if you worship me, you'll have a very qualified husband, and you'll have wonderful sons who are all very intelligent. So he goes on and teases them in that way. And they can't figure it out. What is he doing? But he would continue. Finally, some of the girls say, maybe he is telling the truth. He's got some power. So there's some concern. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to make the point, even at this age, that one should not waste time. I think that's the point. And divert one's attentions to other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna's like that. The nature of Krishna is that he's kind of greedy. He wants your worship completely. He doesn't want it split up amongst anything else. And that is the way to get Krishna. When the worship is focused completely on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada makes the point here in the verses that actually any material gain can also be supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many times people will come and talk and say, you know, they need this in order to keep a foundation nicely in their spiritual worship. I need a nice wife. My health is bad. I need a good job. And that way I can, you know, support my family and without being so many, my mind not being deviated to so many other things. So I can, you know, worship the Lord with more attention and more enthusiasm. And people come like that, but they don't understand that Krishna can supply these things too. And he takes care of his devotee. He says that in the Bhagavad Gita. One who surrenders unto me, you know, everything is taken care of. There's no need. But the thing is, the living entity forgets that, or maybe doesn't forget, but wants immediate benedictions. It's like when you want something and you really need it. You can't wait to get it. And sometimes you get a little, what we say, impetuous or impatient and expect it to happen soon because of your enthusiasm. But this doesn't work like that. So it takes a little patience. As Rupa Goswami explains, that patience is a symptom of surrender. And patience follows enthusiasm. So therefore, Krishna will take care of his devotees. Jai Sisi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sisi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Gornitai Ki Jai. And sometimes we find that people doubt that. And because of tradition and because of culture, we see that there is that strong attachment due to tradition and culture. Like sometimes I meet, especially young men, they say, well, you know, I ask them, why do you worship like that? Because that's the way I grew up. My parents taught me to worship this way, and this is what I know. Sometimes they feel very dissatisfied with that, but at the same time, because of tradition and culture and ritual, they continue and can't see why not to do that. And of course, with family pressure and peer pressure and cultural tradition hanging there, they continue, although they don't feel like they're getting much from it. So we have to take the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that exclusive devotion to him means that one has reached perfection simply by that devotion. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. He's known as Giridhari. That's one of his interesting pastimes, most amazing pastime. Or as a little boy, he preached to his father, who was worshiping Indra, along with the cowherd community in Vrindavan. And they were doing regular puja to Indra every year. As cowherd men and agriculturals, they think, oh, Indra supplies rain, and he is the god of rain. Therefore, we need rain for our crops, for our animals. Therefore, we must worship Indra. And it's tradition, it's culture. Krishna came as a little boy and just started questioning his father, what are you doing? What is all this paraphernalia for? And there seems to be some ceremony about to happen. And then Nanda Maharaj explained, oh yes, you know, this is what we do every year at this time. It's very cultured tradition. And who? Krishna said, yeah, it rains anyway, and it rains on the rocks, it rains on the ocean where there's no need of rain, so you'll get your rain. And anyway, if you just do your duty real nicely, you know, that's all that really counts. Krishna starts speaking Karma Mimamsa philosophy. If you just do your duty, you don't need to worship the Supreme Lord or anybody. Your duty is sufficient to bring about the desired results. So he's talking like that to his father. His father's not convinced. And finally, Krishna said, actually, you know, we're cowherds. Therefore, we actually get a lot of benefit. And our cows graze around Govardhan Hill, and Govardhan Hill provides nice fruit and so many nice caves and so many... And everything we need is in Govardhan. So don't waste time. Let's worship Govardhan Hill. Let's worship the cows like that. So... And this goes on. Krishna is really using a lot of philosophy. And finally, his father acquiesces. But what happens? Indra gets angry. Indra gets angry because he cannot recognize who this little cowherd boy is. And so he starts, you know, throwing thunderbolts. And of course, we all know that wonderful pastime, how Krishna... And Krishna performed this pastime just to teach. He did it for many reasons. Because when God does something, he does it for many reasons. It's never just one reason. But one of the main reasons he wanted to teach, and why does this Govardhan pastime happen at a particular time of the year? It's before then, it's the time where everyone does pujas to demigods, right? Lakshmi and Shiva and who else? Durga. All these, just for about 2 weeks before Govardhan Hill. The Govardhan Puja. He does it just at that time, and he says, it's all a waste of time, just worship me. But we're stuck. We're stuck by tradition, culture, family pressure, and we still see some... But actually, Prabhupada says here, and Prabhupada says, we are accused, uses a very strong word, of not worshiping the demigods. Something wrong with us. We're not right. Therefore, yatamat tatapat. I'm okay, you're okay, this is okay, you can worship here, you can worship here. You worship, you know, you can worship Donald Trump, you can worship, you know, Theresa May, you can worship who else? You can worship your father, your grandfather, you could even worship that your pet rabbit. You can worship anything. You know, worship is for everybody. So just worship. Doesn't matter. But Krishna says it's all Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. Krishna says it's all useless waste of time. So devoting our attention on the Supreme Personality of Godhead is like going on the most straight and direct world. Why get deviated with so many people get deviated with so many other forms of... And therefore, Prabhupada, you can see how much the whole purport he dedicates to this worship of not worshiping in demigods. And in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 7th chapter, Krishna says, those whose intelligence has been stolen... He doesn't say those whose intelligence are directed. He says stolen by material desires, surrender unto the demigods and follow a particular rules and regulations according to their nature. They worship the demigods for certain benedictions. Then he goes on to say, and I am in everyone's heart as supersoul. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith steady. Wow, now he's saying that he actually gives you the direction to how to worship so that they can devote himself to that particular deity. So what is that point that Krishna's making here? That sarvasya jaham radhisthani fasto matat smirti gyanam apohan amcha. You want me? Okay. You want this? I don't really want to give it to you, but because you want it, I fulfill your desires. If you want to forget me, you want to be an atheist, you want to develop a nice philosophical teachings based on atheism, I'll show you how to put it together. You can write a book on it. That's Krishna. But then he goes on. He qualifies his statement in the next verse. Endowed with such faith, a person endeavors to worship a particular demigod and obtains his desires. But in actuality, these benedictions are bestowed by me alone, he says. And then he goes on, he concludes, men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods, but my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. So here's the point, is that demigod, do we pray to the demigods sometimes? We can. We can say, my dear Indra, my dear Vayu, my dear Agni, please give me devotion to Krishna. That is beneficial, and that is also what we say encouraged, to take mercy and blessings from great personalities. Obviously, they're great personalities. But to worship them for what they can give, and Krishna says, Srita Jnanam, one's intelligence is stunted, or what we say, diseased. So, therefore, Krishna makes this point over and over again, and Srila Prabhupada makes this point over and over again, that, yeah, any great soul, we can ask for benedictions. And sometimes we even ask for benedictions and blessings from ordinary people. Please pray for me. Please help me become, what we say, more serious in my practice of devotional service. We can do that. We should do that. It's a good thing because it shows that by our own efforts, by our own intelligence, we fall short. And therefore, we need blessings. And the more blessings and benedictions you get, the more you can see the Lord will show favor like that. Of course, we can go right to the source of all blessings, the spiritual master. But Prabhupada also recommended to take, you know, just like when the first initiation ceremony, one of the first, I think it was in 26 Second Avenue in New York, and Brahmananda, the Brahmananda got initiated. His mother came to the ceremony to see her son get initiated. You know. Two sons, actually, Gargamuni and Brahmananda. But after Prabhupada finished the ceremony, he said to Brahmananda, now go pay your obeisances to your mother. didn't really understand, but Prabhupada made the point. And he went and he actually offered his obeisances to his mother and touched her feet. Of course, this is actually culture. And Prabhupada wanted to show that, yeah, you know, you should, respect and honor superiors like that. Because by their grace and by their mercy, like that. And what to speak of the demigods? Of course, the demigods cannot do anything without the sanction of the Lord. But Prabhupada said the demigods are so powerful. And he used the example, just like I see a little ant, and I can just, if I want, of course we don't do that, I could just step on that ant, and the ant's finished. Demigods can do that to you, he said. He said, they're that powerful. They can just crush you. They have that power. But they don't do it because they're devotees. But just to understand their position, they're not small people at all. Very qualified, very powerful. But sometimes they get in trouble too, like Indra. What happens with Indra? He uses his power in the wrong way. He tries to thwart Krishna's power. Or he gets involved with some lady and gets cursed. This is sin. So they're still, what we say, subject to the material energy. But still, they're great personalities. So we can honor the demigods, but not, what we say, worship the demigods. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's interesting here. He's doing this at such a young age, just a little boy like that. Making the point in a very, what we say, humorous and playful way. He could have told the girls directly, but he didn't. He did, in one sense, but he told them in a very playful way, ultimately. And actually, you know, all these demigods, they're my servants. And therefore, if you worship me, all your desires will be fulfilled. Of course, devotees understand we don't worship Krishna for material desires. What do we do with material desires if we have them? And at the same time, we want to worship Krishna. What do we do? Is there a formula for taking care of it? Yeah. But, I mean, when you want something, like when you want something, you need something. Just like in a family, there may be something necessary in order to keep the family working nicely or happily. What do? You say, my dear Lord, Supreme Personality of God. Or you can pray to the spiritual master, which goes directly to the Lord. And I have this desire, and I know it's not pure devotional service, but I think it will help me in my devotional service. So if you think it's necessary for me to have this in order for me to make advancement in spiritual life, then please give it. Only if you think it's necessary. Like I've seen people, they want to get married to this one person, and their spiritual master says, no, not that one. And they say, Guru, here's where we differ. It's nice knowing you. At least I'll be back. I've seen it. It's not like I'm just making these things up. And they go on and then they go ahead and put out the blessings of the guru because they say, what do they say? Love is blind. Not only blind, it's really dark there. And so they go ahead and then after some time they come running back. It didn't work. Guru said, I told you. So, yeah, therefore, one should always take the mercy and blessings in everything we do. Even if we have material desires, we should always get the blessings. And that way, and be very patient, because the Lord will supply. But a devotee, a real devotee in heart, understands that if I get Krishna, I forget everything else. And that's the real goal, that whatever happiness or necessity I may require from material things, the happiness that comes in pure devotional service, and Rupa Goswami makes this very point at the very beginning of Nectar Devotion, that happiness of material life is insignificant. It's not only insignificant, it's practically non-existent. It's non-existent. So a devotee just depends on Krishna in every situation. And then by depending on Krishna and then worshiping Krishna in the mood of devotional service, the devotee feels satisfied even if Krishna doesn't fulfill or his so-called desires because he has a higher taste. Visayam vinivartante niharasya dehina raso varjam raso pyasyan param drisvan nivartante. One cannot give up the lower taste unless one gets the higher taste. So the higher taste is love for Krishna, or that devotion to Krishna that brings about that expressions of love for Krishna. And that's the higher taste. And that's what we should go for, that higher taste, because it's available through the mercy of the great devotees, the spiritual master, and especially the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I won't take up too much more time. So is there any comments or questions?